Good morning, Christ Presbyterian. Good to be here. As Steve said, from Clarksdale, Mississippi, I serve as head of outreach and doing some youth ministry there at First Pres in Clarksdale. And it is a privilege to be here this morning. Glad to be with you guys. Excited about what I hear the Lord is doing. Excited about you guys moving soon to a new property, and just pray. We'll be praying with you guys that all of that goes smoothly as possible. I was talking with Brian. I asked him, how are things going? Is it going smooth with the move? And he just kind of looked at me, so I got a little worried, but it was going as smoothly as can be expected. So that was good to hear, and I'll be praying that this church continues to minister here in Clarksdale for many, many years to come. We're going to look at Joshua chapter 1, the first 11 verses there in Joshua. I think, yes, here it is, printed in the bulletin. Let me pray for us as you're turning there, whether in the bulletin or Bibles or phones. Father, we just so thankful for this opportunity this morning as your people gather together to worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray, Father, that you would assist us, and that the Holy Spirit would come and minister to our hearts and our minds. And open up our hearts, open up our minds to the wonder of your person revealed to us in Christ. And I pray we would be drawn to him, and we would see his great love for his people, and that as we see the love you have for us in an ever-increasing way, Father, I pray that you would be the center of our lives, our hearts, our affections. You would be the center of our joy, that you would be the thing that energizes us and gives us purpose and meaning, contentment, and everlasting and inexhaustible joy. So bless us in these moments, I do pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. With everything that's been going on in the football world, I will say I will not tell any jokes related to football this morning to put everyone at ease. If you were wondering, because the secret I'll let you in on about me is I do like to tell jokes. So that being said, I'll divulge myself a little bit. A friend of mine is a deep, deep Ole Miss fan, and he loves the Rebels. And I've come to, too. We're originally from Memphis, been in Clarksdale for 10 years now. But he said that he thought it would be a great idea for Ole Miss to hire Lane Kiffin. Well, being from Tennessee, I know how that went with the University of Tennessee, and I just told him that would be great because the Memphis Tigers would never lose to the Ole Miss Rebels again if Lane Kiffin becomes the head coach. But anyway, I couldn't resist. That's what I told my friend, and he took it in stride. We're friends. But what I want to do this morning, you see there in the bulletin, title of the message is the assurance to advance. And wherever you are in your life, your walk with Christ, whether individually or collectively as a church, I pray this morning as we look into God's word that you will see God for who he is, his power, and his love. And no matter where you are and what you're facing, you know that as a child of God, you can move forward because God loves you. And there's nothing that can separate you from his presence. And there is nothing that can stop his promise from coming to pass in the lives of his people. Let's read the text. It says in verse 1, of chapter 1 of Joshua, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, All the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp, and commanded the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. I would dare to say that most of us in this room today have all faced situations, certain challenges that were situations that were challenges that we did not want to enter into all by ourselves. So much so, there have probably been times in your life, I know it's been true of me, where there have been certain hard situations and hard conversations that I simply did not have the courage to face all alone. So I asked a close friend, whether it's my wife or a member of the church, I've got this thing, and I need you to be with me. This is kind of the situation that Joshua and Israel find themselves in our text this morning. You see, they've got a challenge to go into the promised land, to take possession of a place that's already inhabited by groups of people. And they were going to have to do this without Moses, because we read in the text that Moses at this point is dead. And to really get a feel for the dilemma that they face of going into the promised land without Moses, you have to remember the greatness of who Moses was, his leadership, his greatness, his faithfulness to God was revealed to us in the fact that God listened to Moses, literally listened to him, so much so that when Israel faced annihilation in Exodus 33, it was Moses who talked to God and asked him to have mercy, and the people were spared. Or consider what Deuteronomy 34, verses 10 and 12 say about Moses. It says, since then, no prophet has arisen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to the whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power and performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. The death of Moses marked the end of what you might call a spectacular era in the life of the people of Israel. And now Moses is dead. But one of the things that this text, I believe, wants to say to God's people is that though Moses may be dead, God's promise to be faithful to his people yet remains. So we'll look at three things this morning, I think, that arise out of the text to hopefully encourage us as the people in the text were encouraged by what God had promised. The first thing is we see in this text a living hope, a living hope. And one of the things that I love about Scripture is just how the truth of God's word is just laid out there. And sometimes what God has to say to us is kind of ironic, because here in the text we see a living hope offered to the people of Israel. But interestingly enough, this hope that is offered to them comes after the death of Moses. You see, it's almost like kind of a play on words or something, if you will, because we don't think of hope arising out of death. I mean, when a close friend of mine, a leader that I revere, dies, the first thing that pops into mind, to my mind, is not hope. But the Scriptures tell us and offer to us a living hope that comes after the death of Moses. Again, the great leader Moses may be dead, but God certainly is not. And you see, God is a living God. So much so that we, if we remember in the Gospels, it says that he is the God of the living and not the dead. And so alive is God that the Scriptures declare, he who watches over Israel never sleeps nor slumbers, Psalms 121 and 4. Moses, this great man who provided leadership for Israel and exemplified faithfulness to God, he was the one through whom God worked mighty wonders, and he is now dead. Yet even though this great man is no more, what God is trying to get Joshua to see, and I believe what he wants us to see, as great as Moses was, he's gone, but I'm still here. And not only am I still here, I always will be here. Great leaders can come and go. Challenges will arise and they will fade away, but God remains the same. He is faithful to keep his promises to his people. John Calvin, commenting on this passage, says that while men are cut off by death and fail even in the middle of their careers, the faithfulness of God never fails. On the death of Moses, a sad change seems certain. The people were left like a body with his head chopped off. And while so in danger of scattering, not only did the truth of God prove itself to be immortal, but it was shown in the person of Joshua as in a bright mirror that when God takes away those whom he has adorned with special gifts, he has others standing ready to take their place. You see, because God is always alive, no matter who goes or passes, he can say with certainty, as he did in verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. The writer of Hebrews encourages his God's people to trust in our great high priest, Christ, when he wrote these words in Hebrews 7 and 16. He has become a high priest, not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis and power of an indestructible life. I love that. I love that language of that passage. We can trust God, the writer of Hebrews is saying, because his life is indestructible. This world and everything in it is passing away, but God, he is indestructible. And because he is indestructible, so is his word, and so is his promise. His life is forevermore, and he offers to Israel and to his people today a living hope. And that hope is backed up by the power of an of an indestructible life. When Israel faced the prospect of crossing over Jordan and going to war with the inhabitants of Canaan, God said to them, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross over the Jordan into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. He is alive, and he will be ever with his people." What challenges do you face today, child of God? What situations confront you that appear hopeless or impossible to overcome? My prayer is that you let the living God who was with Joshua be the one you depend on, the one who offers to his people a living hope, a hope that rests in what the Holy Spirit inspired Peter to write in 1 Peter 1:3. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we have a living hope. But not only do we have a living hope that we see here in this text, we have a present help. Verse 2, it literally says, "Now arise, cross." The command is to do it now. Trust God now. Cross over the Jordan. Enter into the land that I am giving to you. There is an immediacy about this command. It is similar to what Christ says when he says, "Follow me," in Luke 9. Joshua is to arise immediately along with the people of God because he was going to be with them just as he was with Moses. You see, God promised to be with them every step of the way. There was no reason to delay because God was with them. God offers a hope that is present for today, a hope that will be with his people. Again, in verse 5, Israel can do whatever God commands and overcome all challenges associated with his commands because he will be right there with them at all times. And I think about God's presence and how assuring it should be to his people. I think of a child sometimes. Those of us parents have probably experienced something similar to this where they're facing the prospect of being in the school play. And it's kind of overwhelming. But you come alongside that child, you encourage them, and you say something like, "Don't worry, I'm going to be with you. We're going to rehearse those lines. You're going to be ready because I will be right there with you. And when performance time comes, I'm going to be on the front row or closest to the front row as I can be with you, supporting you." And hopefully the child receives that and they just kind of perk up and they say, "Yeah, I can do it because mom, dad, they're going to be there. Got their support." That's how God wants us to depend upon him and his word. He is going to be there. And he's always there. I don't care how dark the situation seems or how challenging the obstacles appear before you. God is right there. And he is with his people. Just as God had promised to be with Moses, he's going to be with Joshua, he's going to be with Israel. You see, it has been said that the secret of their success, even of Moses' success, was not Moses. It was God's presence with Moses. And God, you know, I love God when you look at Moses and how he worked through him. God is gracious and he meets us where we are. And he even considers our weakness because as great as Moses was, he had some flaws. And one of them was when he began the deliverance of the people, you remember what he said? "God, I can't do this. I'm not a good speaker." But God is so loving and so gracious. He says, "Okay, Moses, I'll let your brother Aaron go with you and he can do the speaking. I'll speak to you and you tell Aaron what to say." God loves us. And he's going to go to great lengths to make sure we have everything we need to do what he has called us to do. When God is with his people, he will supply what we need to get the job done. Familiar passage, Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. The ever-present God seen in this text will always be with and meet the needs of his people. Lastly, we see here a foundational word given. We see here in the text where Joshua is commanded to be strong and to be courageous. But also, he is commanded to be careful to obey all that God has commanded. See, that's a very important point not to miss, to obey all that God has commanded. Because although Joshua had been groomed to some extent for war, he had some battle experience. But it wasn't going to be his experience or his military might or his strategic intelligence that would guarantee the success of their conquest of Canaan. Their success was going to be dependent, directly tied to their obedience to all that God had commanded. It was obedience to fully obey God's word that would guarantee Joshua and Israel's victory and blessings from God Almighty. What God had declared concerning Joshua and the people of Israel was central to their present and future well-being in the land of Canaan. And we must understand something, that it is not knowledge alone that guarantees success, not even knowledge of what God has said. Because if you're like me, you've been around church a long time, and we're very familiar with the scriptures and with theology. But it's not just knowledge alone. It is obedience to what God has said that gives us a living hope, that secures us and assures us of God's present help, and is the foundation for our very lives. You see, we must be careful to do what the word commands. You see, if we are going to know and experience true joy and true peace and come to know what our true purpose is in this life, it will not come as a result of us staying true to ourselves, something that the culture says. You know, you got to discover yourself and be true to yourself. Well, the more I learn about me, the more terrified I am about what I get to know and what I get to see. I don't know about you. Maybe you hadn't gotten there yet, but just keep living and stay in this book. I promise you, you won't like what you see when you compare it to what this book has to say about us. But there's hope. But there's hope. But this world says, yeah, get to know yourself, be true to yourself, but that's not the path to peace and assurance. You see, if we're going to know true joy and peace, it will come as a result of us remaining true to what God has spoken and what he has said and written in his word. As we close our time this morning, having looked at a God who offers to his people a living hope and a present help, we're left with a question. What are we going to build our lives upon? What will we leave here today trusting in? What are we going to allow to shape our hopes, our dreams, and provide for us contentment and joy, particularly in a culture that tells us something completely opposite to what God has told us? A culture, again, that tells us that we need to embark on a journey of self-discovery. We need to accumulate wealth, and we need to be concerned about our physical appearance, or that experiencing some type of pleasure, whether that's travel or whatever, is going to be the key pillar to build one's life upon in order to achieve happiness and success. Are we going to buy into cultures of false spirituality that says, you know, if your good deeds somehow outweigh your bad deeds, then you'll end up into this place at your death of light, joy, and peace, wherever that is? or that live a good life, because once you're dead, it's all over. You see, had Joshua chosen to trust in anything other than God's word for him and for the nation, they would have faced certain trouble and defeat. And the same is true for you and me. In the quest for happiness and fulfillment in life, we may be presented with alternatives to what God has said that seem way more attractive than his word. But all other paths outside of the path that is laid in God's word are simply dead-end streets leading to eternal destruction. And we need to realize this. We need to realize that what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, 35, and 37 is true. It needs to be our heart cry. Direct me in your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes, not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things and preserve my life according to your word. What Peter said to Jesus in John chapter 6, they are still true today. Christ alone, you have the words of eternal life. And you will not find life any place other than God, Christ, and his word. In our text, what God is trying to do here by highlighting, he says it several times, that Moses is dead. What God is trying to do is highlight the reality that though Moses is dead, as great as he was, I am always here. And as great as Moses was, I am greater. Think of the greatest person you know and you look up to. God is greater because he will always be there. And he's saying, trust me. Joshua, you can trust me. Israel, you can trust me because I'm eternal. My power is eternal. My love is eternal. And God, now in these last days, he's shown us something greater than Moses. He's shown us something greater than the conquest of Canaan. He's shown us his great love and his great power by defeating your greatest enemy, sin. By sending his own son to die on the cross in your place for your sin, that you might know him and not perish, but have life everlasting. He could do that. He could lay down his life because death had no power over him. Why did he do it? The one who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. God, and only God, could take away our sin and take the penalty for sin, which was eternal death and separation from God. And so he calls us to himself, and God wants us to see his great power, his great love, his mercy, which is eternal, in the person of Christ. So that when we as people receive what Christ has given, we, like Joshua, would have the assurance to advance in this life on to eternity, come what may. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and I just pray that you would just encourage us by your word, strengthen us in it. Help us to stand against a culture that is feeding us with all kinds of different ideas and ways in order to achieve happiness. Help us to remember, though sin may be pleasurable, it's just for a season. And when sin has conceived, it brings forth death. But again, Father, we don't have to die in our sin. Someone has done that for us. And we can have life and life everlasting through Christ. So I pray that you would be the center of our hearts and the foundation of our lives. So work in each of our lives, whether we know you and have known you for years, whether or we don't know you, and today is the day that we are born again. I pray that you would work in each of our lives, drawing us closer to Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name, for his sake and his glory. Amen.